for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Tuesday evening service of July the 6th, 1999, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Just about right. Grisella is going to come and minister to us the rest of the evening. So she'll come at this time. Why, we'll turn the rest of the service over to her this evening. Amen. And I'm sure you'll be blessed. I'm blessed by being able to be a part of the ministry in the Philippines.
Well, wasn't the spiritual food awesome the whole time we are here already? Are you ready for some more? I want to read a scripture from Mark 11:22. It's a very short scripture, very quick. It says, have faith in God. That's all. You know, there's a modern version which says, why don't you just trust me? Why don't we? You know, I like to look up words in dictionaries to find out what it really means. And faith means complete trust, loyalty, a strong conviction, no doubt, no question, a strong assurance. Do you have faith? No doubt, faith. Do you really have faith in your loving Heavenly Father? You know, every time the Lord speaks to us, we have to make a decision. Either we obey, or we turn Him away. What's your decision? That's all. There's the two things we have to do. You know, when my husband passed away, before he passed away, it was easier for me to trust the Lord. Because I had a husband to lean on. And you know, these guys, they're our leaders. And we wives are supposed to follow. So it's easier. But suddenly, I had no more husband to lean on. And I had to learn to trust the Lord for my family. Well, that was still easy. My family, okay? It's just the food, the clothes, okay. But then with that came, I had to trust Him for the ministry, for Bethesda, the home for unwed mothers. We are feeding 20 people there. Well, that was a little more faith. Then all the outreaches we are doing. And now the Lord gave me a new task to make a building. Wow, I had to really learn to trust Him. I knew it's very easy to trust Him. Just do it. It's very easy. I want to take you way back in our lives. My husband went to India. It was way back. It was probably in the 60s, end 60s. And at that time, India was still much more enriched than now. Now you hear many going there. And he was in an area where the Hindu priests were still bringing human sacrifices in Bastar and Orissa district. Well, do you think you can lead a Hindu priest to the Lord? No way. He can. We can't. And you see, he had to make a decision. He got called to go do it. He can say, Lord, I'm willing to do it. Or, Lord, it sounds very stupid and crazy to go in this area. They may sacrifice me, huh? And how do we know? But he went. And you know, while he was traveling around on a horse in India, he came one evening in one village. And the Hindu priest accepted the Lord. And he had an awesome testimony. He said the night before he had a vision. He saw a cross coming down from the sky. The cross was surrounded by a bright shine. When the cross came to the ground, there was a young white man standing there giving an explanation to the whole thing. And the next evening, my husband was in that village. And the Hindu priest was one of the people who got saved that night. That's what Jesus does. Do you have faith in God? Or do you doubt? Have faith. You know, this story and many more are in this book, which we are selling for $5. And all the money goes back in the mission. So if you want to learn about faith and get your faith increased, get the book. And you will see that the Lord can do awesome things if we are willing to trust Him. If we don't doubt. You see, the devil always comes in and puts doubts in our hearts. Always. But the Lord says, have faith in God. Just put him away. Say, get lost, devil. I have nothing to do with you. You know, I told the ladies today, I got married very young. I was not quite 18. And I got married to a mature missionary. He was quite a few years older. And he took me as a young bride all the way to Nigeria. But here I'm a German girl, as you know by my name, and we are trained to be excellent housekeepers. And I got a yucky house in Nigeria, so I thought, I need to clean up this thing. So the first thing when I saw, there was a black ceiling. So I took my broom and tried to sweep this ceiling clean. And you know what? A million of spiders came out of there. I found out this was about a foot deep spider web. And who knows what's in there? I decided, forget it, I've got to live with these beasts. And I did. Have faith in God. You can live with spiders. I did it. I can live with rats too. They don't touch me because the angels are all around me. I can do whatever he calls me to do because he gives me the task to do it. He gives me the strength to do it. He gives me the joy to do it. Whatever I need, he gives me because he says he will do so. See, we have to learn to stand on his word with both of our feet and just act on it and do it. That's very simple. Anyhow, I had to learn how to go in outhouses in the middle of the night too if I had to go. And you know, they tell you, and these are very funny houses, you know. They have just a hole, two sticks, and one across. That's your toilet. And then you have, they take cement bags, which are out. They take that. And there's one entrance in, one entrance out. And they tell you, before you go, you have to look in, because there may be a snake in there. And the snake will spit at your hiney, and you will die. So you have to watch out. But you still have to go sometimes, you know. But the Lord says we can step upon scorpions and snakes and they cannot do anything to us. So before I went in, when I had to go, I said, Lord, everything has to be out. I'm coming. I never found one. My husband did, but I never did. Have faith in God. We can do all things with him. And you know, even so we say we have faith in God, the devil is still there. And one night, I mean, we had a little tiny room. We couldn't even put two beds next to each other. We had one bed here and one bed here. And one night I went to sleep and I woke up. And I felt like I was dying. It felt like somebody was just sprinkling me. And I said, what in the world is going on? I feel like I'm dying. And the first thought is you shout help to your husband, bro. But I couldn't shout. I had no voice. It was like, I was dying, just like that. No voice. And all I could do, I mean, you don't have any, you cannot think how much time went by because it goes so quick. But all I could do is plead the blood of Jesus in my thoughts. Speak in tongues in my thoughts. I could not speak. There was no voice. And it was a battle. I was just battling in my voice. After a little time, it would go away. And my husband was the first one to speak. And he said, what happened? And I told him what happened to me. And the identical thing happened to him too. The next morning we found out there was a bunch of choo-choo men in front of our house trying to get rid of us, trying to kill us. The devil tried. He didn't succeed because he has all power in heaven and in earth. And he is stronger than the enemy. Have faith in God. Don't doubt him anymore. Whatever your problems are, don't doubt him anymore. You know, I was a very brave missionary wife. I went with him anywhere. But my prayer always was, Lord, use him. I was hiding behind him. You know, he was big. I could hide behind him very good. Even though I'm big, but I could still hide. And, you know, I shared with you about the miracles which I saw. Yeah, I prayed with people. I didn't mind, but I was hiding. If you would have told me, come here and give a testimony, I would have said, no way. I would cry and hide back there somewhere. That's how I was. Until Mount Pinatubo erupted in the Philippines. One day, we went to Zambales, and we had a healing crusade. We had all kinds of people coming, sick and awful-looking people. And here I was standing in front. And one lady came to me, and she had a girdle. And it was this side. Girdle hanging like this. And I said, Lord, you're on the spot now. We preached that you heal today. If you don't heal her, you're in trouble. And so, well, and the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, true? So I just put my hand on there. And at that time, I was very holy. I closed my eyes. I don't close my eyes anymore when I pray. I want to see the miracles. I missed it. I had my hand there. And while I was praying, my son would go up and down, and that thing was gone. I said, wow. I looked up. The next lady was there. I prayed for her, too. She got healed, too. Next. Five ladies. The last one, I was still praying for, and she said, hey, stop praying. I'm healed already. When I experienced that the Lord can use me like this, I said, who am I to say, Lord, use him and not me? I want to be used just as much as him. And I became my husband's competition. Not really. But I wanted to be used by the Lord. I don't want to miss out of these blessings. He wants to use each one of us. It's stupid us to hinder him. I hindered him. I didn't want to be used. I was hiding behind my husband. And you know, there came another lady to me. She had the hand all crippled up with arthritis. And while I was praying, it was click, 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 and moved, and a perfect hand. So who am I to say, Lord, use my husband only. I want to be used. And ever since then, I said, Lord, I want to be used. I want to go all the way, no matter what. I want to be faithful to you. And I want to get what you get and give on what you want. I want to be your tool. And that's what I have been doing ever since. Have faith in God. He can do it. It is us who hinder the Lord. You know, we are serving in the Philippines. The Philippines have 7,112 islands. Plenty. 7,112. They have about 72 different languages and dialects. So it's a bunch of confusion there too at the same time. But there are many hungry people. And like I shared with you, when Mount Pinatu erupted, it was awesome to see what the Lord was doing. And during that time also, a lady came to me. We had a child evangelism team in one of the villages. And she pulled me on my arm and said, what is Jesus? I said, wow, what? You know, it's who? But she didn't know. And she said, come with me. She told me, but she didn't speak good English. She pulled me to her house, which I could see it was a little better than the others. So I found out she was the chief's wife. And she wanted to know what Jesus was. I tried to explain her, but it was impossible. So I told her, why don't you just come back to the group and we get the child evangelism team in it. And we bring them to your village. And you know, since she's the chief's wife, whatever she says goes. If her husband is out, she's the boss. So she made every woman and every child sit there till we came. They all had to listen to the message, to the children's message. And you know, each one accepted the Lord. They said, we got a problem now. Because we have husbands and they don't know about Jesus yet. Oh, we said, no problem. We can come back in the evening and we send the evangelistic team in. And they told the guys about Jesus and they accepted the Lord too. Just like that. Because one woman was hungry and said, what is Jesus? The whole village accepted the Lord. This is what God is doing today. He is an awesome God. And he's in charge of everything. You know, I shared with the ladies what happened with me when my husband passed away and the Lord gave me a rainbow. Remember? I got a rainbow. So I stood on my rainbow. And that means that the Lord was faithful to me. That he told me that he will never leave me, never forsake me, emotionally, physically, whatever I needed. And I told him, I will be married to you. If you take my husband away, it says in the Bible that you will be a husband to the widows. I said, I'm getting married to you. That's it. You're stuck with me. You take care of me. And I did this. And I did it mostly faithful. I sometimes failed. I shared it with them. You guys just missed out. Anyhow, but I got to a point where I said, Lord, what in the world am I doing in the Philippines now? You know, this is a big change for me. Suddenly, you know, I had a very strong husband. I mean, he was one of those preachers. They're all strong guys, you know. The ladies, they just have to run behind them. And I had just one like that, too. And suddenly, you know, my leader is gone and I'm the leader. You know, sometimes we ladies complain we have to submit to our husband again and again. Sometimes we would like to make decisions, true. But, you know, when we make decisions and we make wrong ones, we have the consequences, too. I found that one out because I had sometimes a hard time to submit to him, too. And I wanted to have the last word, too. But now I get to make all the decisions. I'm free. But you know what? It's not that much fun at all. Because I have all the responsibilities, too. And I tell you, I don't like it one bit. So submit to your husband. And you see, so I was trying to figure out, what does the Lord want? What, you know, I don't want to make a mistake. I'm responsible for the finances. I'm responsible for everything. If I blow it, I blow it for the whole ministry. Not just my family. And so I said, Lord, I need you to really speak to me and show me what is going on. And then he gave me a vision. And the first vision which I was seeing was I was weaving. And I was weaving a very nice rose. I love roses. And I made a very beautiful one. It was like a nice wall picture. It was just perfect for me, for my sight. But you know, as it was almost finished, there came Jesus' hand and was weaving over mine. And it changed. The colors were not pleasant to me. The patterns were kind of like squares and checkers, which I don't really like. But he was continuing to weave and weave. And when the thing was all finished, it looked pretty good. And I said, Lord, what is this? And he showed me that I have a pattern for my life. But he has a different pattern for my life. Do we submit to his pattern for our life? Or do we want to have our pattern for our lives? You see? Ours looks usually a little bit different than what his looks like. And you see, so I had to think about that. Then he showed me what Bethesda really is, our home for unwed mothers. It is a counseling center where we counsel a person's one by one. Yeah, we are doing that. The pregnants come in. I told you one story already. There's another story. I had a lady come in. She had a cheek like this. She looked really yucky when you looked at her. And I asked her what happened. And she said she had a rotten tooth. She had no money to go to the dentist. And it got infected and infected till it's like this. And so we took her to the doctor. But it took time to get her all healed down. But you know what happened to her? She had a nice job. After some time, they found out she got pregnant. She lost her job. And she got stuck in the squatters, in the slums. She was living off her friends in the slums, just getting a handful of rice here, a handful of rice there, till she finally got to come to Bethesda. But you know, when they come in my house, it takes about, within 2 weeks, they all have to accept the Lord or leave. They can't stand it. Because we are trying to live what we are preaching. We want to be a living testimony. It's easy to say, I love the Lord and don't live it. They watch you and they criticize you. And we got criticized quite a bit. They pull out, you know, what's in there, what's not really the Lord. They find it and they tell you. And they will tell you, but a Christian is not supposed to do this. Or you're not supposed to talk like this if you're a Christian, you know. Anyhow, this lady accepted the Lord and she changed totally. And then one day she went to the market with one of my staff. And in the market, she met a lady who said, you know, are you looking for a job? And we said, yes. She said, you know, if you'd like to wash my clothes, you can come. We hire you. Just like that. When they accept the Lord, we see how the Lord helps them and they have changed. And they get even a job many times. Then I had another one. She got raped in Dubai, in the Middle East. In the Philippines, you know, they're known as maids. They get sent out all over the world. Many are in Hong Kong, in Malaysia, and Singapore as maids. And the men usually work as in the oil fields in Saudi Arabia. Because in the Philippines, there are not enough jobs to survive. But she got raped there. And she got raped right at the end. She couldn't shout for help. She was the only one in the house with the intruder. So she ended up pregnant. So she came home to her family, a loving Christian family. She's a Christian girl. And she saw our ad in the Yellow Pages. Are you pregnant and you need help? Call us. She called me and she said, you know, I'm a Christian girl. But nobody will believe me that I got raped. They will say I did it. I wanted it. Anyhow, I could convince her that she comes and lives with us because she had no place to go because she was trying to hide away from her family. But you know what? Eventually, the Lord could touch her. She was a hard nut to crack because she had all these perfect ideas how it's supposed to go, and it didn't go like that. And we had that many times in our lives too. Everything's just perfect. But the Lord always did the opposite. And as she had those perfect ideas, one of these days the Lord just reached down and touched her. There where she was hurting. And she changed. And she was able to get in contact with her sister and her brother. And they forgave her. They took her in and she could go home with her baby. Because she already has two kids with her husband. Her husband, by the way, works in America. They all have kind of messed up families where they are spread out to just make ends meet. Because there's just not enough jobs and not enough money. But so I asked, so this is a one-by-one counseling disaster. Then I had a time where I needed help with a cook. I cannot cook for all these people, plus do outreaches and everything. So I placed an ad in the paper for a cook. Well, I got a cook. But 10 days, 2 weeks later, I was fed up with my cook. I said, you have to be, I fire you. You're no good. Then she cracks down, cries, and she told me, you know, I'm not really a cook. I called you because it says missionary house. I thought I would find peace, but I didn't find peace. They don't find peace in my house. They find turmoil. Until they accept the Lord, then they find peace. So when I get ready to fire them, so then we counsel, they're ready to talk. They're not open before because they know it all. So that's the time when we counsel with them, we talk to them. They accept the Lord. They're willing to work free for me. They don't want to leave. So I usually give them a little time to stay, to get strong in their faith, what they just learned finally. And then we let them go on. And you know what they go on to? They're going to be dress designers. They're going to be businesswomen and who knows what, but for sure no cook. That's what happened. One by one counseling. Thank God I've got a cook now. I got tired of this. But it was a counseling center. So Bethesda is a one-by-one counseling center. And then the Lord told me to build a new building. The new building is going to be, in the vision which I had, a place where many would come in and get filled and refilled by the springs of living water. Not just one-by-one, groups. I saw chipneys. If you don't know what a chipney is, on that blue paper back there, you can see a chipney. And so it's groups of people coming in, being filled and refilled and changed by His Holy Spirit, by the living water, by the springs of living water. And the Lord gave me the name for the building, Springs of Living Water. Well, I'm a lady. How can I build a house? I don't know anything about building. Golly. I'm a mama, a grandma, and all that. Anyhow, I said, Lord, this is not really me, is it? And I tried to argue a little bit there. I didn't have faith right away to do this. I argued first a little while and told him what I felt about it. And then he kind of picked the wrong person in me. But, well, he decided I was the right person to do that. So I submitted. And I'm learning to have faith to do this. And you know what? The first thing was we got an architect and I was bang at the wall. The architect didn't do his job in the Philippines. It's hard to do anything. And here I'm a lady. You see, it makes it very difficult. So we had to let the first architect and the first engineer go. Bye-bye, they're no good. Anyhow, my son, my oldest son who is 26 helps me quite a bit. He got his Master of Divinity. He feels that his calling is teaching, so he's really my assistant. He also teaches in the Bible school there. And he helped me. And we got a new engineer. We got a new architect. And
cheaper than before. That's the Lord. Sometimes I run into the wall and don't know where to go, and it's the Lord who put the wall there to stop me because I may go off in the wrong way. And you know what? We slowly, the finances came in, and we've started building. We already dug the foundation. We put the foundation. Some of the retaining walls are already poured. Now we're out of money again. Well, I said, Lord, it's your problem. I'm married to you. You're my husband. You got the supply. I don't have it. But I have the feeling that we never will run out. It will always go very, you know, right at the edge. And he was just let us go doing it. Okay. What the Lord showed me for this building is an auditorium for 250 people, a dormitory for 50 people, and classrooms. So it's a three-story building. And that's a big chart. When you have no money on top of it. And a lady on top of it. Anyhow, I tell you, maybe when I get to come next time, I can report to you what happened. But I expect many miracles to happen. Because it's his job. And I'm just doing what he told me to do. I'm trying to be obedient. And you know what he says? We have to do what he tells us to do. And he will do the rest. So why worry? Why do we doubt? We just have to be obedient. So, one of these days, we had a pastor seminar in our house. We had about 86 pastors on the water. That's the story about the well. And the Lord told me to drill a well. And I said, Lord, me a well? I don't know what to do with a well. I don't know how to drill a well. I don't know anything about this either. This is all guys' jobs. He gives me all these guys' jobs. I don't know why. Anyhow, he told me that. I mean, when you have 86 pastors in the house to do a pastor seminar and you don't have water, it's a stinky mess. And we called some people. You know, here you go, walk through the yellow pages. Well, we don't walk through the yellow pages. You walk to the people. Maybe if you're lucky, we have some yellow pages, but just a few telephone numbers are in it. It's not like here. Not everybody is reported. We could make, I think, 2 phone calls. The rest we had to send people to try to get estimates. Anyhow, I got an estimate. It cost me $3,000. I said, Lord, this is an awful lot of money, $3,000 for a well. And, you know, we had a subdivision well, but the well in that area broke down. The pump broke down. Everything kind of broke down. I said, Lord, you can just speak to this well to get all fixed up again. You can do that. Why don't you do that? It's cheaper than my $3,000. But he didn't do that. But eventually, they had it fixed up again. And I kind of forgot about the well. We do that so easy, huh? And I went to some palace. I had awesome time of ministry. But when I came back, it was like my spiritual life was going down the drain. And I couldn't figure out why. I really didn't see it, and I could not figure out why. And then one of my friends, another missionary who comes in and out to our house, came by, and he said, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know. I try to obey the Lord. I try to do everything. He said, you better go in your bedroom. You better seek the Lord. Something is wrong. I said, wow. I went to my bedroom. I said, Lord, what's wrong? I try to obey you. He said, the well. I said, oh, no, the well again. So I told my son, get those people. We have to do this well. So we had these people come. And you know, it's not an easy job to drill a well. First, they come with the whole crew, bring all their whatever their little machines along, the generators. And then they bring something along, which you all call water witches, with the 2 little sticks. And they walk through this whole property to try to find water. But you see, when the Lord told me to build the well, he told me to build it up on the hill in the highest place, which is very stupid, 1 meter from the wall. And those people, they went there to check it out. There was no water. The sticks didn't say that there was water. Everywhere else there was water, but there was no water. So here, I was stuck. What do we do now? Well, my oldest son, he decided, well, there's something really fishy. We didn't know about these water witches, by the way. I never drilled a well, huh? And so he tried to test the spirits. Because he felt it was kind of spooky. And he went out and said, okay, what is this supposed to be? And I told him that when there's water, the sticks kind of click. And so he put the bucket of water there, but the sticks didn't say anything. I said, oh, it needs to be running. So he put the water hose on, let the water on. the Sixteenth anything. He said, just go and do it there, where we told you. And I said, oh, crazy white people, they don't know anything. They're so stupid. And they started drilling and drilling. Now, this is on the property of Springs of Living Water, so I had my idea. Remember my rose? Huh. I had my idea. Springs of Living Water, I thought, this is drilling, which is a tiny bit, they hit the spring, and it just comes gushing out. Was my idea, not the Lord's idea. Anyhow, that drills, no water. And I had no idea how long it takes to drill. I mean, I have no idea about anything. I still don't. Anyhow, there was no water. So I wrote that missionary who corrected me before. I sent him a fax. We didn't have email at that time. I sent him a fax and I said, did I hear wrong from the Lord? Was I supposed to build this well, or did I waste the $3,000 for the Lord now? And he, usually you don't hear a fax because it makes a tiny click, and my office is right next to my bedroom, but there's a door between. I have a window unit going at night, so you cannot really hear that. But I woke up from this little click, and I got up, and I saw the fax. And in his fax he wrote, you know, with these water witches, you invited a bunch of demonic powers to come on your property. You better walk through all of Bethesda and to do spiritual house cleaning. Cast them all out. Send them all out. And do it with the whole property. Well, I went back in my bed because I was tired. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. So I was laying in my bed and said, boy, I'm stupid. Here the Lord gives me a task. I'm supposed to clean my house in the middle of the night. And I go back to bed. Well, I got up. I walked through all of Bethesda. I did whatever I felt I was to do. I casted out anything which I felt needs to be casted out. Got rid of it all. But I was too scared to go outside because it was dark and, you know, spooky. So I stayed inside. But early in the morning, just as daybreak came, I went outside and I told the world, in the name of Jesus, you bring forth water today. And I casted everything away there too. I mean, nothing could stand it anymore. I was very thorough. Then my son came. I told him what happened, so he went to the well too. Commanded him to bring forth water. Guess what happened that day? We had water. And you know what? They only went 100 feet down to get water. First of all, we went 20 feet up in the highest point of our property. And further down in our subdivision, that we have kind of like a resort area, they're drilled. They're further down than we are. They had to go 360 feet down to get water. The Lord put it there. Have faith in God. Even if it sounds very stupid what the Lord tells you to do, often you say, Lord, I can't do that. I'm a woman. Or, Lord, I can't do that. I'm too weak. Or, Lord, I cannot do that because whatever your excuse is. Don't make excuses anymore. Have faith in God. No matter what the job is, he will help you. And you see, for you, it's not to go to the Philippines and do all what I have to do. I think you have it easier. I think. But anyhow, wherever the Lord put us, that's where we are called to be faithful. For me, it's there. For you, it's here. For you, it may be to just talk to somebody in a grocery store. Like in Sam's, like we heard. See, I had a similar situation. I was in Zambales in the gas station. We put up in the gas station. I saw a very old man walking. The Lord spoke to me to get out and pray for him. And I kind of did the same thing like this person did too. I said, Lord, me here in a gas station? This is embarrassing. And I'm a missionary, yeah? And then we were there with two cars. In the other car, the Lord spoke to somebody too because I didn't listen. So they got out, then I jumped out too. And you know what? We led that person to the Lord. How do we know how long that person is still living? Don't do the nonsense I did. It's not worth it. It's a joy if we get to lead people to the Lord. It's a joy to obey the Lord. It's fun to serve the Lord. If we give our whole to Him, everything, don't have little... You know, many times we have our little pet sins, which we pet, we hug them, we, you know, in all these little areas where we say, Lord, you can have all of me, but this is mine. Don't do that. Give it all to Him. Then you have fun. Otherwise, you have only headaches. Because those little things which you are petting, They give you the headaches. He wants all of you. Everything. And then it's really fun. You know, my husband also worked in Vietnam. We were in Vietnam, 1975. We brought 23 orphans out of Vietnam. That story is in the book, too. It's an awesome, long story. I don't want to get into it. And it was a time where I was, I guess, scared of my life. I hated every second of it. I have never been in a war. I was born after the war. And here he takes me into a war country. Our first night was when the mission camp was hit in Saigon, which was a big bang and nobody knew anything. His task was to start an orphanage and to leave money there for about a half a year. He got the call watching the news. Is that the Lord talking through the news? It was for him, believe me. We had no money, but when we left a few days later, we had the money. And Americans couldn't go anymore, so it helped to have a German passport. That's why we didn't give it up yet, because we can go many places where Americans cannot go so easy. Or we don't need a visa, we can go in and out very easy. Anyhow, we went in an empty airplane. People said, you're crazy, nobody goes into Vietnam, everybody goes out. Hey, we shared the airplane with about five nuns, the whole airplane was ours. Nobody went in. When we tried to report ourselves to the German embassy, they were already closed and gone. So no more Germans there. The Americans said, you go out right away with the next airplane. We don't want you here because we have green card. So they have authority to tell us that, but we just kind of hid. We stayed. So we did our job, and then at the end, we found 23 orphans, which we had to take out. The Lord gave him a new task, and we came out. So then for a little while, nobody could go into Vietnam. It was kind of very locked up and dangerous. And then the Lord gave my husband a new call to go back into Vietnam. Well, I was still working in Zambales and still do. And then when my husband passed away, my board said, well, he worked in Vietnam. It's your job to continue to work. Woo, this was a tough one. Exactly 20 years after, I had to go make my first trip to Vietnam to check it out, to see what's happening. And you know what? They sent two pastors with me. Two big ones, too. They made me sit at the window and they sat there so I couldn't run away. I was stuck. I mean, I literally re-lived Vietnam. Huh? It was pretty scary. I was scared. I didn't want to go. And when we got there, you know, it's kind of a tension. Until today, it's a tension when you go in a country where you know you're doing things which you are not supposed to do. The government forbids you to do that. But you have to obey the Lord, too. But on this trip, when we got to our little hotel, there was a little Vietnamese lady, very short. She was my husband's interpreter. She came running for joy and gave me a hug. She was so happy to see me. When she hugged me, all my fears just disappeared. It was gone. I didn't know what happened to it. It disappeared. And it changed into love. Boy, I love to go back. I love to go to Vietnam and teach. It is fun to serve the Lord even there. Yeah, it is dangerous every time. Every time it's kind of like, do you come back or do you end up in jail? I know you hear that Vietnam is open, but it's not. I just got emails. In May, we had 20 pastors in jail. The main leader from Assembly of God was in jail, plus 19 of their pastors. They kept the 19 pastors for about 3 days in jail. And the main leader, Pastor I, they kept for about a month or even a few days over a month. They interrogated him daily. And he broke down. They had to admit him to hospital. They still wouldn't let him go. They put him under hotel arrest. That's the truth. This is what's going on, but you didn't hear about. And so every time when I go to Vietnam, you know, I pray, Lord, I said to you, I want to be sure. I don't want to go because I want to go. I don't want to go because they say, please come. I want to be sure it's the Lord because I need his protection. And you see, when you teach there, hey, we are white. The Vietnamese people don't look like we do. And we are tall. We are kind of like towers of light. So we are seen very easily. So when I get invited to teach, they come to the hotel. They tell you where to live to. So they put you up in a hotel. They know the safe hotels. They put you up. They come and pick me up on a motorcycle. I hate motorcycles, especially there. I don't feel safe. I guess maybe I'm too big. I don't know why, but I just feel not safe on it. And the way how they ride motorcycles is even more fun. Nobody stops at any time. If you get to an intersection, they all go. And you rub shoulders with other people. When you get to they have roundabouts. Oh, everybody goes. It's really an awesome experience. And they take you down, all kinds of little alleys. Sometimes the alley gets so narrow, your body bounces off on the wall here and on the wall here. And that's how they take you down. Because they take you all kinds of little ways to, in case there's a spy following, that you lose them, that they think it's stupid stuff what you're doing. You know, just one of those nuts driving through the whole town to go sightseeing. And then when they come to a place, they say, jump off when I stop. Go in this door where all the shoes are. They leave all the shoes outside. It's awesome when you see that. Mountains of shoes. But when they have secret meetings, they take them inside the door, put all the shoes there. You're not allowed to go with the shoes in the house. And then there is no furniture in the room. They sit on the floor. And so I had to do that my first time I got there. Ran in there, took my shoes off. And then there was about 50 ladies. All on the floor. You could barely move. That's how many people it was. I said, Lord, this is awesome. I mean, this is new to me, okay? I don't know that. I don't know how it works. Then, I mean, it's a very tiny room, so everybody is like old sardines in there. Nobody can move. I'm sitting on the floor on top of it, okay? Old and young, everybody. But this was all married ladies or teachers. Because only selected people get to come to these meetings, so nothing gets out. Because when we get caught, we go to jail. And then I have to do my teaching kneeling or sitting. I have to turn to my whiteboard, kneeling or sitting. And because if you stand, you're so far over the head, it's not nice, it's not good. And in that one meeting, usually I've tried to pray with each lady separate at one point. And in this one meeting, I said, Lord, how in the world do I pray with so many people? And the Lord just told me, always about six, he says, just get this group right now. So we would pray with them. And the power of the Lord would be so mighty, they would just clung to the floor. Nobody catches them neither, huh? They just go kaboom. But you know, the testimony is coming back. It's awesome. One time, I just told them, I feel like the presence of the Lord is there so strong. Just reach out your hands and just tell the Lord whatever you need. You know, people everywhere, they were just going down. Nobody touched them. Nobody did anything. I didn't do anything. I just said that. And you just could hear bang, bang, bang. I mean, it's hard wooden floor. And the testimonies afterwards, they said they were like floating. They felt they were better than clouds. They never had a pain. You see, if the Lord does it, you don't have a pain. Now, if you're looking for somebody back there, don't fall. But you know, when the Lord moves, it's awesome. And those people, they tape this, and this goes in the underground network, and it gets taught on. That's the ladies' seminars. My last job was a difficult job. This was this is an underground network, a different one, an independent one. And they have an area in the mountains where about five people accepted the Lord. They were farmers. Now, these five farmers became baby Christians. They shared this on in different areas, and they became a little prayer group. And this prayer group grew in a church. These are farmers. Once in a while, the husbands got to go to Saigon for training secretly and come back. The ladies are still farmers' wives. They never learned to be a pastor wife. So I was called in to make these ladies, these farmer ladies, in 3 days a pastor's wife. Oh. Hey, this is awesome. So we had to sponsor this group to come from the hills into a tourist area because there it's, everything is kind of hidden. And, you know, if you're a white person, well, you're a tourist. Big deal. If the mountain people come down, they're tourists. And so we had to sponsor that. We had to sponsor that transport. We had to sponsor the hotel. They never lived in a hotel. They never operated a facet. I mean, these are cheap hotels. They're like $7 a night or so. But still. So one couple went in, washed their hands, forgot to turn the faucet off, left the room, came about 2 hours later back, and the water was coming in the hallway. They didn't know you had to close the faucet. There are stories about these mountain people, like they would wash their fish in the toilet, flush it down accidentally, and it's gone. They run down all the stairs and go to the bottom and say, "Can I have my fish back?" These are true stories. That's how primitive they are. You see? So they had to, the Saigon people had to train them in just simply what to do in a hotel room. How to act. The very basics. How to lock your door that nobody takes your belongings away. They don't have to lock the house. They don't have a house to lock, you see. So all these basics we had to train. So when I finally got my ladies, they didn't even speak Vietnamese. They were illiterate. I tried, I thought this is very funny. You know, these are mature people. I tried to give one a pencil in the hand. It's like giving a pencil to a two-year-old. Don't know what to do with it. To me, you know, this was just, I'm not used to something like this. And then we had to draw little pictures in order to get our message across. It was really a thing. It was, I don't know, it was unbelievable. Then the pastors from Saigon said, "We need to have council the next morning. Can you please be available like at 6 o'clock in the morning? We need to have some advice." So we went in the hotel room. We counseled. We talked to them. Breakfast came and left. And then came the meeting. So we marched right into the meeting. We find out something is majorly wrong. And you know what happened? We ate every meal with these people. I learned how to eat with sticks. The first time I went, I almost died. I didn't know how to eat with sticks. Oh, I learned. My kids taught me. And you see, so we ate everything with them. We were there all the time. But this one, we missed the breakfast. You know what happened? Police came. If I would have been at this breakfast table, we would have all been arrested. Was it a coincidence that the pastors needed help and needed us in their hotel room to counsel us? No, it's the Lord's leading. You see, before I went to Vietnam on this trip, I sent emails out and I said, "Please pray. I know I need to go, but I'm scared. I need prayer support. I don't know why I'm scared. But I need to know how, I needed to go." And this is what it was. The prayers of my friends helped that the enemy could not trick me into whatever, you know, and I just could obey the Lord there. But you know, when the devil comes in like this, police comes, you're scared. They were scared. I mean, they're scared for their life. But you know, they had their prayer meeting and the Lord visited them. They had one vision after the next. I never experienced something like this. They had one vision was like they saw themselves under a big umbrella. The Lord was the umbrella and they were all hidden away. Some saw clouds around them and just disappeared. It was just awesome how the Lord visited them. That's what the Lord does today. What are we afraid of? If He does these awesome things, what are we afraid of? Why don't we have faith in God? Why don't we? And you know, my job was a difficult job to make a pastor's wife out of a farmer's wife in 3 days. But you know what we decided to do? We took couple by couple and prayed with them. With our interpreters. We laid hands on them. Some pastor's wives accepted the Lord then only. We got them all spirit-filled. And we sent them out in the power of the Lord. The reports came back that it was an awesome seminar. It was a fruitful seminar. Okay, now I want you to pray with me because I'm supposed to go back in September. And you know what? I'm scared. You know why? Because that Assembly of God pastor, which just was arrested, they took his computer. and then printed out everything which was in his computer. My letters were in his computer. My email address is in his computer. My address is in his computer. He got his computer back, hard disk empty. So you see, it's kind of a little like, do I need to go? Don't I go? What do I want to do? And I need to be really sure. Do I want to go? Is it the Lord's will for me to go? And I really want you to pray with me. Have faith in God. There is nothing impossible for our God. We serve a great and mighty God. There is no other like our God. Stop having doubts. Stop questioning Him. Just obey Him. Amen.
Now, she said that we need to pray for her. So, I want Tommy and Chris and John and all of the ministries to come up here and lay hands on her and pray for her. Toby, you come here too, son. And all the rest of us will agree. Amen. Where's Tommy at? Disappeared. Tommy, where art thou? Well, anyway.
Lord does have a sense of humor.
I do not know how we became acquainted with these folks. Some way, through her husband, we met him somewhere and got acquainted with them. And we've been supporting them for several years. I don't know how long. I don't know if you know how long. But for several years, we've been supporting them over in the Philippines. And it's been a pleasure and a privilege to support the ministry over there, because it's a ministry that is worthy of our support. Now, there are some places in areas of, even in the Philippines, where it's not practical to support. Because it doesn't go where it's supposed to go. But with the ministry there at Bethsaida, I have always felt, since we first became acquainted with them and learned about their ministry, that it was a ministry that it was worth supporting with the Lord's money. And so we've supported them every month for several years. And I count a privilege to do that. And so anyway, let's all stand and pray for their protection and her protection, as the Lord's given her this burden to go back in to minister to those who have nobody to come to minister to them. Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We give you glory and honor. Father, we thank you for this ministry there in the Philippines. We thank you for Bethesda. We thank you for the ministry there in Vietnam. Lord, this wife of yours, Gisela, husband of Gisela, we come to you. We bow before you. We humble ourselves before you. Lord, does she go in September or not? You closed the door to Paul in Macedonia. And yet, Lord, you brought forth a great ministry there. Lord, you've opened the door in Vietnam. Father, this lady, this wife of yours, needs your leading and your guidance. And Father, tonight we pray. And we know and we believe that between now and the time she is to go, you will speak to her. And Lord, you will guide her. And Father, she will do your will. Yes. Yes. And Lord, your will be done. Yes. And you will be glorified. And Lord, there's nothing more than we can ask of you than to use Gisela and her family and Bethesda as you have used it. And we'll continue to use it, Lord, that you will bring glory to yourself.
Father, we just pray for our sister that you would put a cloud around her, Lord. Father, we just pray for a multitude of angels around her and her boy, Lord Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we ask you just to increase the protection, Lord, from the spiritual realm, Lord Jesus. And that, Father, your peace would be the perfect guide. Father, you would cause her to be restless in her spirit if the door is not to be opened to go that. But if it is, Lord, that you would give her peace that passes all understanding. And that she would just cast her cares upon you and know that you will provide at that right moment exactly what she needs. We just speak peace over her spirit tonight to trust you concerning that which is to come. Thank you.
Father, we've been blessed exceedingly by these testimonies. Lord, help us to be more obedient to you. Father, remind us in the days ahead to pray for this servant. Keep her at the forefront of our minds, O God. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word tonight. Thank you that she has come and shared these testimonies of your just absolutely awesome doings. Lord, we know that there are many other places in this world that you're doing the same thing. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, your word says in Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear you, and you deliver them from all of their troubles. And Lord, I know that there's been times in the past when there have been other people that have been in dangerous situations. And Lord, they have walked literally right through situations. And there have been people there that would just love to get their hands on them, but yet, God, you have made that person invisible to them. Now, Father, we're asking you now, God, we don't know just what you're going to do. But, Lord, should it be your will and Gisela goes, Father, we're asking you to make her invisible to the enemy. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just give you praise and glory. And we know in whom we believe. And we're persuaded that you're able to keep Gisela in any and all situations. Thank you, Jesus. We give you the glory. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Father, we just pray for the finances. Pray for the finances to come in, Lord, for our sister and the needs, Lord God, that she will face, as well as there in the Philippines, Lord. And we just call it in from the east, the west, the north, and south.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you for sending the angelic host to bring the money in, Father. We claim it, declare it, and believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. Harosikata. Oh, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's nothing too hard for me, saith the Lord. I've heard your cry. I've seen your tear. I've seen the rejection and the hurt. But yea, I am thy God. I am thy strong tower. And you can run to me in the times of storm. The storms have come. The storms have gone. The storms shall come, but you'll run to me. Yea, I will be with thee. I shall protect thee. I shall keep thee as you go out and as you come in. And as you wait upon the Lord, thou shalt be renewed in strength and in power. Fear not the enemy. Fear not man's face. Yea, fear thou God, for I am with thee, my daughter. I am thy strength, your shield and your buckler. Yea, wait upon the Lord, for yea, I, the Lord, am with thee. I go with thee, and yea, I there is a host about thee. So fear not. God said the work should be accomplished.
Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for your watch and care over Marcus and Harold and the family at home. Give him wisdom, Lord, and your protection. Give him that which he needs, Father, to carry on, and that he'll make every decision that will be right. And we thank you for it, Father, and we pray your presence there and your protection over them and over the all of the household there, Father. And we thank you for giving him the wisdom, Father, to carry on and to take that place of authority. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now, we are... haven't said anything about money, but we're going to have to receive, so you can sit down. We're going to take an offering for her, and we're going to, rest is ushers, come here, and let's wait a minute while some of you need to write a check. a check to cover here for this evening for them. We ask you to do so. I'll make it out to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, and we will give her a check to cover whatever's in the offering. Amen, amen. Phil, Kyle, how about playing us something on the piano here that's appropriate for what we're about to do here? Huh? You're do fine. Okay. All right. I'm going to take the privilege I'm going to take the privilege to pray over this after it's put back into our hands. I think I like to do that. I like to thank the Lord for what He has given us. Amen. Amen. Okay, are we ready? Okay, go ahead, fellas. Servant is worthy of their hire. Toby, I would like for you to come back up here with me. You've got a heritage ahead, behind you and ahead of you. And you've got big, broad shoulders. And God's got a purpose and a place for you to labor with your mother and the family. I don't know what your thoughts are or what you feel about all of that, but you let God take care of it. Don't rebel against anything. Don't make up your mind that you're going to do something. Let the Lord do it for you and with you. Now, I want you to help me. We pray and thank the Lord for the finances He's given us to help your mother and you and Mercedes. Okay? Put your hand in here. Father, as Toby and I come and bring these finances that you've placed into our hands tonight for Bessadia, we thank you for the privilege, Father, of receiving it from these thy people. I bless them and I thank you for the privilege. Now, Father, again, I take authority and dominion over this finances. And I present it unto you, Jesus, as a sweet savor for Bessadia. And that you will make it to multiply again and again and again and again and again and again and again to meet the needs of that facility that you've raised up there to be a lighthouse, a beacon for the kingdom. And I pray your anointing and your blessing there. And I know it's there. And then, Father, I thank you for those who participated here tonight and those who will participate in days to come in taking care of the finances that goes forth from this place to help to take care of the expenses there. And we bless it, Father. We bless it. We bless those who have blessed us here tonight with their finances. And, Father, we bless the labor and the work there. And we pray strength, Father, unto Marcus and unto Harold and unto Toby and unto their mother. We pray strength unto them and the anointing of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and guidance and direction and the anointing to lead and to guide, that thy will be done and it be performed, Father, for the kingdom. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, prayer meeting. And tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock service and 1:15. And she'll be back with the ladies again at 1:15 to finish up what she started today. And tomorrow afternoon service. And we'll just rejoice in the things of the Lord. Tommy will be ministering in the morning. And I think Doc will be ministering tomorrow afternoon. And John will be ministering tomorrow night. So that's the schedule for tomorrow. I can't tell you about the next day, but that's where we stand for tomorrow. The Lord bless you. You're dismissed. Get a good night's rest.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.